Everyone, and welcome to The Six. This is the weekly podcast where usually my good friend Gil and I get together to talk about the six things that we have been enjoying or sometimes not enjoying so much this past week. The six things that have been occupying our mind space. We have a great episode this week. We will be talking about some very cool shit. We will be talking about the film Mute that you can see on Netflix, the brand new game for PlayStation 4 God of War, the animated film, Batman film, Gotham by Gaslight, the band Rotting Christ, the book Black Metal Beyond the Darkness, and the comedy special from Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher called The Honeymoon Special. Before we get into that, though, as usually we have a few announcements in our news from the front section.
All right.
From me, the first thing is the new Venom trailer that just came out, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yeah, does it look like shit?
It looks good, man.
It looks good.
Yeah.
They show the transformation.
Big time.
And it's good.
It looks good.
How's Tom Hardy's face? Do you even see it?
You see Tom Hardy's face a lot.
All right.
And then you also see Venom a lot. And it looks just like the Venom from the comic book.
Like Tom McFarlane Venom?
I don't remember specifically what Todd McFarlane Venom
looked
like.
Fucked up teeth and like a giant white spider on the front?
Fucked up teeth for sure. Big white eyes. I didn't see the giant white spider because they only showed him like chest up.
Okay.
Or like shoulders up.
All right.
But yeah, it looks like it's not going to be like a 90s, like he's not really going to look like the comic book character thing. It's like, I mean, you know, it's 2018.
Right.
They're like, here it is.
Mm.
And I mean, I'm interested in this movie mainly because I think Tom Hardy's a fantastic actor.
Same.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what he does with the character.
So when Sony takes over Spider-Man again after the next film, the next solo Spidey film,
right.
Well, do you think Venom will be part of that universe?
I mean, it would make so much sense.
Right? It would, right? Okay. Yeah. All right.
It seems like a great setup, and it seems like a particularly Marvel thing to do to take the time to introduce this villain with his very own film.
True.
You know what I mean? Like DC would throw him and then like five other villains.
Oh, you're a dick. You're a dick. Always with the low blows on DCEU.
It wasn't. I'm just comparing and contrasting.
Listen, man.
That's all I'm doing.
We don't have time for this.
I'm saying there was a movie called Justice League with like 18 characters in it. Three of them. It was like the first time you'd seen him besides a security video in Batman versus Superman.
And guess what? It worked. It worked amazingly well. Fuck yeah. I just bought it for $10 on iTunes, saw it again, loved every inch of it.
Right. So it worked
every
for
inch.
You.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
And like 300 million Chinese people.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's up.
I mean, that's all you need these days.
Yeah.
How much is 300 million times? How much do they pay for movies over there? $20?
I think it's 15? Like a dog.
A dog? You just bring a dog.
You just bring
theater?
A dog and they're like, all right,
we have
cool.
to move on. This all is right. really, okay.
Sure.
We are recording this on 4/25, April 25th.
Fucking China's ruining Hollywood.
2018.
Sorry. All right.
Nice job. Thank you for alienating our two Chinese
our
listeners.
Our two Chinese, right.
By the way, I do still think that Wolf Warrior 2 was probably the best film of last year. So
yeah, there you go.
I do love the Chinese cinema. Yeah, so tomorrow I'm going to go see Avengers Infinity War. Tomorrow, Thursday, it's everywhere all day starting Friday.
Oh, that's coming out? Shit.
That's tomorrow.
Slipped my mind.
Yeah, I already have seats at the VIP Regal room at the Coconut Grove thing. Not Regal. It's the VIP room at Coconut Grove. You can drink beer. You can recline.
Do they give experience. You like a mani-pedi and like a hand massage?
I don't do that. I'm a man's man.
Okay.
New Perfect Circle record came out on 420, right?
Yeah, yeah. Fucking eat the elephant.
I've listened to half of it only. I've listened to that first half like three times.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten past it because I've been, you know, it's either I'm driving or I get like distracted.
Right.
Or I decide that I want to listen to Rotting Christ again.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved what I heard. It reminded me a lot of some of the stuff on 13th Step, some of the stuff on Emotive, which is all material that I really enjoy. And I really look forward to seeing these songs live, man, because APC is unbelievably good live.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is one of those bands that I think is way better live than on record.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And we'll saw them, like, last year?
Yeah, yeah. I saw them at the
Naples thing,
Rock
right?
Out With Your Cock Out Fest or whatever. Fort Rock.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, Fort Rock. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it was just, like, the crowd just hushed when they came on. Like, everybody gathered. It felt like a religious experience. Maynard came on all our faces. It was amazing. Yep,
that's exactly the experience that I had when I saw them in Lollapalooza in Chile, like, 5 years ago. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was, you know, you had some great bands playing that weekend. You had Pearl Jam. You had Queens of the Stone Age. But A Perfect Circle definitely sold the show. So
we'll be talking about that record next week, right?
Yeah, in detail.
Yeah.
And the last thing for me is that the demo for the upcoming game Detroit Become Human is up on the PSN store.
Right.
So if you want to check it out. Well, I know that it went up on the Australian PSN. I think the European. I can't confirm that it's on the US PSN store because I haven't gone and looked for it myself.
I would think so because I've seen it all over the Twitterverse.
Yeah, people are talking about it, right? People are saying that they played it and so on. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that it's there. If you're interested, go look for it. If it's not there, I apologize for the fake news.
True.
Any announcements from you?
Nah.
Okay. Any fighting words?
Capcom, make me a fighting game character.
Okay, cool. Understood. So let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
You saw the film Mute.
Or as I like to call it, Mute.
Mute.
Mute. Mute. So,
I've been wanting to see this. This is a sci-fi... is it a Netflix original?
It's a Netflix original.
Right.
Yes, it is a science fiction... noir, in the vein, I guess, of maybe you could compare it to Blade Runner in terms of looks and kind of feel.
Right.
You know? But let's backtrack a little bit. So this movie is written and directed by Duncan Jones, who is David Bowie's son.
Cool.
He wrote and directed a little movie called Moons, starring Sam Rockwell.
Oh, fuck yeah, that movie's awesome.
That movie's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
And Kevin Spacey playing himself.
Right.
A gay robot. And,
yeah, I know exactly what you just thought of. Just keep going.
Okay. All right.
Let's not make that left turn right
okay.
now.
Okay, you saw, okay, all yeah. right. All right, so that was a pretty good sleeper. It kind of came out of nowhere, right? And it was like, oh, shit.
What, Moon?
Yeah, yeah. For me, at least, like, it was like, oh, what's this movie Moon about? Oh, right. Sam Rockwell, I'll check it out. Oh, this is good.
Right.
Something about the ending left me...
By the way, which is your favorite Sam Rockwell performance?
Oh, man, great question. Dude, he was really good in Three Billboards. Have you seen that?
So I started watching that. I think I told you, I watched, like, the first 40 minutes on a plane.
Yeah,
and then
that's
the plane
right.
landed, yeah. and I was fucking loving every second of it.
Ah, I thought...
It felt to me like... the kind of cinematic tour de force that I had been looking for a long time. So I can't wait to get back to it and finish it because it was just incredible.
I can't wait for you to finish it so I can like tear down everything you think about it.
Boom. Let's do it.
Challenge.
Royal Rumble.
So favorite Sam Rockwell. All right. Off the top of my head. Boom. I'm going to have to go with Choke.
Wrong. Iron Man 2. and The Way, Way Back.
I haven't seen The Way, Way Back.
It's a great movie. You should totally see it.
All right. You should see Choke. It's based on a Chuck Palahniuk novel.
I know. That's why I avoided it.
Oh, is that why? You fucking bled for Fight Club. You like your whole like persona in 1999 was based on like Ed Norton in Fight Club.
Still is,
bro. So whatever. What's your favorite, Sam?
I just said Iron Man 2.
Oh, that's right.
And The Way, Way Back.
That's bullshit. All right.
There's like some dancing in Iron Man 2 that is just phenomenal.
Does he dance? I remember... Yeah.
He dances and there's the interactions with... what's his name from the wrestler? Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Mickey Rourke is like the scientist, he's like, I want my bird.
Right.
And Sam Rockwell has to deal with that. It's really, really quality stuff.
That movie's ridiculous. Yeah. All right.
I mean, here's the problem with Hollywood today, I think, right?
Besides China.
Yes. I think that you and Trump are fighting the good fight.
I love Chinese people.
And they love you.
Yeah.
So here's the problem with Hollywood today. I would say that at least 60% of 80% of the films that we see is I've been taking writing notes from Bilbo Baggins, is actors trying to emote against green screens, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Thanks to people like you who keep supporting like films like Infinity War and garbage like that instead of going to see things like Mother.
I went to see Mother. I just didn't like it.
All right, fine.
But I paid for it. I paid, you know, hard,
cold. You paid for me too. Cash. Thanks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
See, so I paid hard, cold cash times two.
Okay, fair enough.
It was kind of warm, actually, because it was in my grubby pockets. So. So the problem is actors emoting against green screens.
Yeah.
Right? But then you have a film like Iron Man 2, where you have two of the greatest thespians of our time emoting against each other. Sam Rockwell, Mickey Rourke. So what you get is cinematic fireworks.
All right. Fair enough. All right. That worked.
But I digress. Back to Mute.
So
wait,
this is...
Is Sam Rockwell in it?
No, he's not.
Oh, we were talking about Moon.
That's yeah. Okay. We're talking about Moon. So yeah, he's great in Moon. Moon, I thought it's still kind of... The ending left me with wanting something else. But anyway, after Moon, Duncan Jones directed the much loved in China, but hated everywhere else.
That's right.
World of Warcraft,
right?
Adaptation.
Did you see that?
I fucking own it. I like it quite a bit. I don't think it's perfect by any means, but it's a fun, interesting fantasy.
Gil's hard drive take. Where bad movies go to die.
Yeah, oftentimes I do own Suicide Squad. but no. The World of Warcraft is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So are you an
The
alliance?
Work they did with those ogres, man.
Yeah, what side are you on?
Dude. Horde all the way, son.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I can't believe you even asked me that.
So I've never played World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
But I remember there was an interview that I really liked with George Corpse Grinder Fisher, the lead singer for Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
And they were just like asking him about music and whatever. And then for some reason...
Oh, please
just,
let this end the way I'm imagining.
He out of nowhere... I think maybe they asked him like what he does when he's not touring. And he's like, basically take care of my daughter and play a fuck ton of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And then he like...
It's a great game.
Went into like a Tourette's... like tangent, you know, about the Horde,
yeah,
and why the Alliance motherfuckers must die.
Fuck the Alliance. It's true.
So anyway, that's why I have a
I thought you were gonna say all he said was, all right, let's do this. Leroy Jenkins. Yeah. No, by the way, Leroy Jenkins makes a sneak peek in World of Warcraft film
and then Mass Effect.
What?
Yeah,
I was kidding about World of Warcraft.
No, he's really in Mass Effect. He's the first character to die in Mass Effect.
Oh, my God. The first Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Okay, so he did Moon. Great. Generally widely acclaimed.
Yeah.
Little film. Then he did World of Warcraft.
Right.
And for the most part, I like it. And now this was supposed to be sort of his, I guess, redemption maybe. Or going back to good graces, Mute is a passion project for Duncan Jones. It's something he's been working on and trying to get funding for something like a decade, but was never able to do so. Having seen the film now, I'm not surprised. But
that's I watched a very brief interview with Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
No. It not an interview. I think it was his Oscar, one of his many Oscar acceptance speeches.
I haven't seen any of those yet. Fuck.
He went up and he thanked Fox Searchlight for making the movie to begin with, Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, I walk into the office of Fox Searchlight with some drawings of like these fish and there was like a tank. And I was like, hey, guys, it's going to be a great movie. And they're like, okay, man, we'll fund it.
Right. Right. Fishman. All right. Anyway, I'm not going to go there.
Hey, speaking of mute.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, she's mute, right? No, she's mute.
Yeah, she right? is mute. Okay. It fits. It did make me think of that film in some ways.
Really?
But not really.
Okay.
Maybe it's just the mute thing.
Carry on.
All right. So the basic premise for mute is, all right, so near future takes place in Berlin. A child has one of these fall off the boat. I think he fell off the boat and he fucked up his like vocal cords with the boat motor, which is horrifying. And something that almost happened to me, getting hammered one time, hanging out with my brothers.
Really?
Yeah, in like North Miami. Well, I didn't almost, but like I jumped out to pee and like the motor was still on. And I was like, oh my God, I'm really close to this thing. I could have just turned into like Gilberger.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
So horrible. Like that's one of those things where I'm like, whew. In some other dimension, I fucked myself up.
If you ever open
up
a fast food chain, you should definitely put the Gilbert.
Gilbert's. Right. Get your fucking guayaba con queso burger, you know.
That's what it's all about, man.
That's what it's all about. I hate this culture. fuck it. Just throw everything on a donut. Throw everything on a burger. Fuck you.
Let's go back to the beginning.
All right.
Start from scratch.
Right. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Mute keeps it a little too simple.
What is it? One patty, two pickles, a little bit of mustard.
There you go. That's right. That's all you need, bro. That's all you need. But, you know, like real burger, you know, not whatever like Chinese like pink paste they're using.
Oh, my God, dude.
All right, fuck. I'm sorry. Did I mention that Mute was funded by the Chinese?
Of course it was.
No, I don't know. Okay, so Mute. All right, so it's this accident happens to this kid in Berlin. His family is Amish,
mm-hmm.
and they refuse to use corrective surgery in order to fix his vocal cords.
Okay.
So even after his family, after he becomes an adult, he chooses to honor that and to stay that way. So he ends up, as mutes often do, being a bartender at some hip club. And there's, of course, a femme fatale character that he's absolutely in love with. And she has a past, a dark past. Mm. Things happen. She goes missing. Cherche la femme. She goes missing. And then he has to go on this wild goose chase or wild sheep chase. Searching for his bow. And it's good. I liked it. It's a little boring. It's not as smart as I think Duncan Jones thinks it is. It doesn't quite come together. I feel like...
Dude, that's the review for every... That's my review for every movie that you love.
Is it right? Really? So that you'll probably fucking love Mute. No, fuck that. That's bullshit. All right, all right.
You know what I mean, though. Like,
I know what you mean, you son of a bitch.
Those words are kind of exactly what I said about Annihilation and about a lot of other movies.
Yeah, well, I've seen Annihilation 4 times now. You're wrong.
Waste of time.
No. We'll come back to that.
Could have been
a future
watching
episode.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I guess so. That movie's cool, man. Ben Foster. Come
have
on.
You seen that movie set in China with Matt Damon?
Yeah.
How is that?
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. I haven't seen it. I don't know why.
We'll watch it next week and report back.
The Great Wall or some
I
shit?
Think that's what it's
My
called.
My dad
yeah.
loved it.
Of course
Ergo,
he did.
It sucks. Yeah, it's got to be terrible. So
I mean, hey, your dad also loved Deadpool, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Give the man a little
and
bit
he loves
of
Captain America Winter
Soldier. Okay, I mean, then
quotes
he's
quotes it. He still quotes it to this day.
He's in the club.
Tap, tap on your right, on your left. I don't remember.
Boom.
Yeah, he is in the club. I'll probably go see Infinity War with him.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless he sells you out again.
Unless he sells me out like he did for Guardians Volume 2. What a dick. What a perfect dick. So yeah, so Mute.
That's what she said.
That's right. 5 minutes ago to me on their way here. All right. So Mute, it was, it stars, Alex Skarsgård.
Oh, shit.
Who's,
I like him.
You like him?
I do. Big time.
He's in True Blood. Do you like True Blood?
The vampire HBO show?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
You're thinking of a different Skarsgård?
I think I might be, yeah.
This guy is like a tall, blonde, Scandinavian, blue-eyed motherfucker that the ladies love to no end.
No, I hate that guy.
I know what Skarsgård, you're thinking, yeah. You know that Skarsgård is quality Skarsgård.
From Shattered Glass and so on?
Yes, right. Yes.
That guy's awesome.
He is awesome.
Okay.
I wish it had been him. No, okay. Neither do I. He plays the titular mute.
Right.
And Paul,
so he's like the handsome silent stranger.
Silent stranger.
What a load of crap.
He's a little too too pretty to play that role, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And his performance.
Should have gotten Harrison Ford.
Yeah, there you go. Harrison Ford?
Well, like 40 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. But who else is in this? All right. So Paul Rudd is in it.
Okay. Imagine this: Harrison Ford. He's mute, but he voices over the whole. Like he narrates the movie. Like in real kind of noir style. That would be something, right?
That kind of sounds like Blade Runner.
And there's like...
Right. It's pretty quiet throughout the film. He's just kind of like having drinks, like people giving people dirty looks.
Unless like Edward James almost fucks with him. Like he doesn't really say much. Nice owl.
Alex Skarsgård plays the tit.
Let's use that shorthand from now on for the lead.
And of note, Paul Rudd is in it.
Yeah,
and
I saw that. Doesn't he have a mustache?
He has like a handlebar.
Oh shit!
And he has like blonde, super blonde hair.
What?
And like he's a gay, like futuristic, like underworld surgeon.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and his like boyfriend or.
What?
Buddy is played by Justin Theroux, who plays Timothy Price in American Psycho, like Patrick Bateman's like BFF, the one guy he respects. It's really weird seeing these guys in these roles, especially Paul Rudd, since he's a comedy actor.
Right.
And they go to some fucked up places with these characters,
interesting.
Man.
Interesting. Cool.
Really fucked up. And I think that's probably hits... For me, like the biggest flaw of the movie is that it doesn't quite come together the way it should. I feel like there's an emotion. I said this, I think, last week about Pacific Rim or the week before. And there's an emotional beat here that I feel is way off. I would say borderline offensive or offensive.
Really?
In the way that it's used.
Okay.
I wish other people would see this film so I could find out if I'm wrong or right about it. But... it's still a decent film. I still cried at the end. I still very much enjoyed it. It gave me strange feels, but it's definitely a flawed, futuristic detective noir story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, please. This movie wishes it could be like half the fucking movie that is, man. Started watching that again last night while working out. Oh, man, intense.
Sounds like you had a pretty bad workout.
Kind of did.
Cool. So is this like...
of note, real quick. Sorry. The music is by Clint Mansell, who did The Fountain, who did Loving Vincent most recently. He works with Aronofsky often.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the score is fucking awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is this like... order a pizza on a Tuesday night and watch it? Or is it like a gather your friends on a Friday and make nachos?
It's a little too slow, I think, to watch with friends. I would say like watch it with like a girl you're dating or something.
Okay.
And then like talk about it.
Okay.
And then like, I don't know, agree with everything she says. So you can get hooked up. You know what I'm saying.
Yep, that's the goal of watching any movie with a girl you're dating.
What was that fucking movie? Lady Bird? Yeah, great film. Just kidding. Cool. All right, go ahead.
So, is that it for Mute?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I still like Duncan Jones, and I think he's an interesting filmmaker, and I can't wait to see where he goes from here. But Mute, I think, is a misfire of sorts. An interesting one, though.
Understood.
Still worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to understand the breadth of his oeuvre.
I think so.
You want to
also
watch this film.
He dedicated it to his dad and to parents.
Shit.
So check it out. Yeah.
Very cool. So our next topic is a tiny little game that nobody has played and nobody will probably buy called God of War. This is one of the absolute biggest smash hits of this generation.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it will be the best-selling game this month in the US, maybe probably also in Europe. Not sure how well it will do in Japan. It's been getting near unanimous, very high praise. So a bunch of 10 out of 10 reviews, otherwise 9 out of 10s, high 9s.
So I've seen.
And so on. And I got it at launch, and I've been playing it.
Did you get like the Kratos' cock special edition version?
Yeah, exactly.
What does it come with again?
Kratos' cock. That's the main thing it comes with. Also the balls.
Kratos is basically like a cock himself, isn't he? He's like this like erect...
Yeah.
Like veiny, like pale, but his head is kind of red.
Yes. And now he has a beard, which is perfect, you know, because that, you know, there's often hair down there unless you're a porn star.
True.
Or unless you're like very...
Chinese.
conscious about your body hair.
Right.
So if you want to read a glowing review of this game, there's about 20 places you can go that I can think of off the top of my head. So I'm going to do something a little bit different because that's the kind of person that I am.
Oh, here we go.
So let me start by saying that if you own a PS4, you should absolutely 100% buy and play this game. It is a phenomenal, in parentheses, action game.
Okay. In parentheses?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is the you've been ruined by Dark Souls, and now you can't enjoy other games.
Next topic.
Yeah.
So, however, I think that I think it's a phenomenal game. Mm-hmm. It's really good. But I think I would like to point out some of the things that I didn't like about it so much, just to color a little bit. You know, the conversation around this game. That I think is necessary, and around games in general at this point in time.
Yeah.
So let me start by saying this. As an action game, it is absolutely brilliant. One of the very best, I think, of the last few years.
Gameplay-wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks absolutely stunning. This is probably the best-looking game you can play on your PS4, and especially if you have a PS4 Pro, this is the game with which you can show it off.
Besides Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Of course. It looks so good that playing it on my standard PS4, it looked better than games on my Xbox One X running in 4K at 60 frames per second.
Damn.
Yeah, that's how... I mean, this game runs at 30 frames per second, but the graphics are so good, the design is so excellent that it really just looks outstanding.
Cool.
Okay. As an RPG, though, which this game has a lot of RPG elements, it's okay, in my opinion. And as an adventure game, it's lacking.
How so? Okay, I could see the RPG thing. I would imagine they would keep the RPG elements quite light, because I would imagine they want this to be primarily an action game, a mainstream action game.
It is, but I feel like... I don't know. I had really been looking forward to this game. I've been listening to the press talk about it. You know, places like IGN, like Kind of Funny. I read reviews and so on, and I feel like I haven't seen journalists make that distinction enough.
True.
So let me start with what I think is really good about this game. Okay.
Okay.
Which revolves around the action. I think the combat is fantastic. Especially in hard mode. I think there's four difficulty settings. I started playing in the third, so hard, not like ultra hard, but hard. And in hard, I think this game is phenomenal. I switched back to normal at one point just to see what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that it got a little bit sloppy. And I think that it lost some of the magic that the game has when you play it in hard.
Hard places breed hard men, And this is all that Dark Souls you've been going through.
Exactly. Yeah, well, yeah, right. I mean, the last game I played was Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Between Dark Souls 3 and God of War, I was playing the Bloodborne DLC, The Old Hunters, which is very, very hard. So I was ready for that kind of experience.
True.
So I think in hard mode, the combat system in this game joins Platinum's and From Software's as the best available. So I think this is now like the trinity of the best combat systems out there.
Okay.
Yeah. So Platinum, you know, games like
Bayonetta. What about Ninja Theory, bitch? Or Project Ninja or whatever the fuck.
I haven't played those games.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, fine. My bad.
All right.
But yeah, you're probably right. So if you don't like the insanity of like Hideki Kamiya's work, like, you know, Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, or the endurance bar, strategic, methodical take on combat of Hidetaka Miyazaki's Dark Souls and Bloodborne, then this is the one for you. This is the action game that you want, God of War.
True. Sounds like the game I want.
Yeah, right.
I'll be playing it on easy.
Yeah, so let me go into detail about the combat system. So the cool thing about the combat system in this game is that it's, imagine like Captain America, you know, the way that he fights a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that here.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's the coolest looking, most effective, yet stylish way of fighting there is.
One of them. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Okay. So in detail. So there's a lot of things going on. So you have an axe. Okay. So you have a pretty big axe with a handle, you know, that's like, let's say like 4 feet long.
Right.
And you can throw this axe and recall it. Like Thor does with Mjolnir, his hammer.
Yeah.
Or you can just use it to hack and slash.
Okay.
So you throw it, you know, you you hold L1, you press R1 or R2 on your PlayStation DualShock 4, and you throw it.
Yeah.
And then you press triangle to recall it. So you can recall it at any time. So you can just throw it at an enemy, you freeze them in place, you start like pounding on somebody else. And then when you want your axe back, you press triangle and it comes back to you.
Oh,
and
that sounds sick.
Any other enemies are in its path when it comes on the way back, they'll get hurt by it too.
True.
So this is super cool. Then when you have the axe in your hand, you can use R1 for a light attack, R2 for a heavy attack. You can hold R2 for like a super heavy charged attack. And then you can also do combinations of like holding L1 and then pressing R2 and you do like kind of super moves.
That is so strange. Just that the shoulder buttons are used for actions.
Dark Souls, you know.
Dark Souls is like thing. That.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. And shooters, you know, like people have gotten used to like using the shoulder buttons.
Well, for shooters, yeah, totally. So yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Interestingly, people that play Xbox with an Elite controller, like I do, you know, you have your shoulder buttons, you have your triggers, and then you have paddles under the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us configure the controllers in such a way that you kind of stop using the face buttons.
Right.
So you're only using like shoulder buttons, triggers, and paddles.
Very nice.
And just tapping like face buttons for like a couple of things here and there.
I'm a fan of the paddles. Yeah.
The paddles are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like for me, one of the main things that I hate in games today is like pressing L3 to run.
Yeah.
So like when I can map that to a paddle and I can like easily just hold the paddle and like fucking run as far as I want without it like straining my thumb.
Right.
Perfect.
True.
Yeah. Okay. So axe. So also then you have a shield in your left hand. And the shield you can use to block, of course, and the blocking is really effective. Like you can block attacks, fire, poison, elemental damage, whatever.
Word.
And then you can also use it to parry. All
right.
And the parries are pretty easy to do because there's like a pretty like significant like audio and visual cue right before somebody's going to attack you.
Oh.
So you can like do parries, then you stun them and you can, you know, like unload on them.
Okay.
So if you've thrown your axe or you haven't like unsheathed your axe, you fight with the shield and with your fists.
Awesome.
And that's when it gets like kind of Captain America. Right.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's Captain America, like, cause he's throwing the shield around and you're throwing the axe around and then you have a shield that you use to hit people. You punch them. When you use your bare fists and the shield to fight, you have a higher chance of stunning your enemy.
Yeah.
And when you stun them, then you can basically execute a fatality by pressing L3 and R3.
Right. You rip off their head or...
Or you, like, stomp them. Like, there's all kinds...
Stab them, right.
Yeah. There's basically one animation for each different enemy type.
Oh, is... Okay, okay. All okay. right, cool.
Okay. On top of that, you are... experiencing this adventure together with your son, Atreus.
Right.
Who has a bow and arrow.
Do you throw him around?
Yeah, you just like grab him
boy.
And like, toss him, you know, toss him like a
I'm
going to
toss you, boy. Yeah.
Come here, boy. Let me toss you as these fucking dead White Walkers. So no, he has a bow and arrow and he can, you can press square to make him shoot the bow and arrow.
Oh, shit.
And this can also, like, stun enemies. So you can be,
so you're
like,
controlling them simultaneously.
Yes.
Oh.
So you can be, like, wailing on one enemy that's close to you while you're having Atreus, like, throw arrows at another enemy that's farther away to make sure they stay far away and they don't, you know, approach you. And
dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty complex.
Yeah.
And then as you progress through the game, you unlock even more moves.
Right.
Different attacks. And the fighting system gets deeper and deeper.
Right.
And this is why I think hard mode is the way to go if you can swing it, because in normal, it's just a tad too easy.
Right.
You know, where you can get away with kind of just like button mashing.
Right.
If you can, by the way, there's a dodge roll, you know, like in Dark Souls. And in this game, you press, you tap X twice and you do a dodge roll. Or you, I think if you press X, you just do like a quick like dodge. So you can just like hack away, dodge, whatever.
And that's what I'll be doing.
Right. Big Gilly style.
Hey, man, I do it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I think if you can, you know, to make it a little bit more difficult, it really forces you to use all the attacks.
Right.
And it happened to me that I, like, came upon certain encounters. And in this game, it's very unlike Dark Souls, because in Dark Souls, you know, you can have one enemy who is extremely difficult, and it'll take everything you have to be able to beat this enemy.
Right.
Whereas in this game, there's no one enemy, or I haven't encountered it yet, that's that hard. What is hard is that you enter a room and suddenly there's four or five enemies.
Right.
And you have to deal with all these guys. You have to manage them. So what happens? They come up. They're running at you. You throw your axe at one of them. You freeze them in place. You run at another one. You start punching him, trying to stun him.
Mm.
There's a third guy. You're having Atreus shoot him. And then there's a fourth guy, like, using projectile attacks, so you have to, like, keep doing your dodging.
Oh, shit.
So it becomes this really beautiful kind of, like, dance.
Right.
You know? It's such a great combat system. And I had heard people talk about... So what happened to me was that when I was hearing people talking about the game, they were talking mostly about, like, oh, you know, it's the father and son thing, and it's a journey, and so on and so forth. And I was like, fuck that, man. Like, the combat in this game is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is fine. But it's the combat that really takes the cake.
True.
So if you want to beat the shit out of some like White Walker looking motherfuckers, this is the game for you.
Yeah, I want to beat up Whitey.
Yeah.
What up, Whitey? It's time. You thought I was you thought it was just China that was getting in, huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
So that's what I think is really fantastic about this game, and I think this is what earns this game at least a 9. You know, it's just an excellent action game.
True.
What I think is not so great is the kind of, it has like a, this Destiny-like loot system and like upgrade system, you know, and it's not Destiny. Of course, this comes from like way back in RPGs. You have common,
mostly useless shit.
No, you have, no, not like The Witcher where you can pick up spoons and shit. You have common, rare, legendary, and epic gear.
Okay.
Right? That you find, and then you equip it, and then you can upgrade it, and then you can use that to kind of customize your build. Just give me a brief second. We have to make a pause. Dogs are going crazy. We'll be right back. And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back. And that's all I have to say about the loot and equipment upgrading.
So it's like Diablo.
Yeah. You can customize things. You can upgrade things. It's okay. But nothing really mind-blowing so far.
Okay.
And here's what I kind of don't like.
That's
about
new for
this
God
game.
Of War. There wasn't
it
loot
is new.
Before.
Yeah, it is new.
Yeah.
And I think that so this game really feels like it's pulled inspiration from a ton of different places and it's put a bunch of things together. You have, you know, the action. Obviously, the action was inspired a lot by Dark Souls in some ways, you know, making it more difficult, more methodical.
True.
It was inspired by Platinum in that it's fast-paced. And more hectic and more stylish.
Cool.
This RPG thing, you know, like Diablo, Destiny, so on. The thing that I think is not so great, and what I think I would have liked to see something different, and maybe hopefully in the next game it's something different, is, let's say, the adventure aspect of the game, or like the exploration aspect of the game. And it's interesting because I was watching the PSX conference, like keynote speech,
yeah,
last year.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the PlayStation event. And actually, they didn't do a keynote. They did more like a series of interviews. And in one interview, I think it was Greg Miller interviewing Sean Layden, who I think is like head of, you know, PlayStation for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Layden was talking about a lot of the big PlayStation games, like the tentpole games, you know, your God of Wars, your Spider-Mans, right, etc.
Halo,
and he,
Gears.
Right, of course.
Mario.
And he referred to them as roller coasters. And he said, yeah, you know, we want to put you on a roller coaster. You can get off sometimes and explore, and then we want you back on.
Okay.
And that gave me a little bit of pause, because I don't necessarily want to be on a roller coaster. I kind of want to get out, and I want to like open that door that says don't open.
Right.
And I want to talk to the weird guy inside.
Right.
And hear his story, and then go find his friend who's actually dead, who was like clutching a letter that he was going to give to him, and then go back.
Right.
You know where I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Find a bowl of feces, and then there's like a note attached to it telling you where the feces originated from.
The origin of the feces.
Right.
Great typo negative album, by the way. Exactly.
And so, then you have to kneel in front of a lake holding the bowl. Yeah, yeah, I get you.
Sure. So, and not just that, but I think...
No, I get where you're
saying. I think that, you know, so many games have come such a long way in allowing you to really interact with your environment in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Games like Dark Souls, Breath
Injustice.
Of the Wild, of course, Shadow of Mordor, you know, Shadow of War.
Right, right.
Sunset Overdrive, etc. I think that there's so many games out there today that are designed in a way that you can, you know, you have a certain set of rules, and then you have an environment, and then you can do anything. Right.
Yeah.
In Dark Souls, for example, one of the things that I love is that you can basically walk off or jump off any ledge that isn't unobstructed. And that, of course, can lead to your death, or it can lead you to discover a secret area.
That sucks for me because I won't know that it's like a 40-foot pitfall, and
right,
I'll be like, yeah, let me.
Right. Well, then, you know, you just have always to like build your characters with a lot of vitality so that you can survive those crazy ass falls.
Or just give them like those Black Panther boots.
Right.
That just. Yeah.
Right. So, but in, you know, in this game, there's a lot of like walled off, you know, cliffs. For example, there's
right,
a part in the game where you get a boat. You can only dock your boat at like certain spots. You can't swim.
That does sound like Sony, though, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Uncharted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, that looks amazing over there. I want to go check that out, but
nope. You have to like, only over here
follow the
where
path.
It's marked. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this following the path gameplay, I feel like it's time is up. You know? Like I feel like it was novel in the beginning for Uncharted. I think The Last of Us got away with it because it has such an incredible story and it has some pretty good action.
Yeah.
And like stealth action and stuff. But in God of War, it's a little bit too in your face. It's a little bit too handholdy. You know, like every platform you can jump to is marked. Every ledge you can climb up is marked.
This is all good news for me.
I know.
I'm so happy. I'm but like, yes,
perfect,
it
yeah,
sounds like I'm going to play this game.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but for me, it's like, okay, guys, come on.
Right,
you
right.
You know, like it's
yeah,
a bit too much.
Yeah.
Where like every single ledge is painted and you can only go up this certain path. And it looks phenomenal, you know, just like the Uncharted and The Last of Us games. But like, I felt like that aspect was a little bit missing, and it made me think of the games that are not like that I really enjoy, you know, like the Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of Wars, where like my favorite things in those games are seeing like a far off tower or something and being like, how the hell am I going to get up there?
Right.
You know, and you can do it, you know, you can just figure it out or do it.
Right.
And same goes for Sunset Overdrive, which is really excellent at that.
Isn't it kind of like that with the latest Zelda game too? Like you could pretty much explore like
anywhere,
all of it.
Anywhere, yeah, any surface, anything.
Right.
You know, so So yeah, that's it.
I think that's old school, right? That's like an old school paradigm.
And it feels like, so I think that when we started playing games, you know, in the 8-bit and 16-bit era, you know, platformers and so on,
right,
you could pretty much go anywhere, right, and interact with any platform. And in some of the, as the games got developed, you could like jump on ledges and like double jumps and all kinds of cool stuff. And I feel like this, like having closed off environments and like very specific routes had to do with like the advent of pre-rendered environments, you know, where like you had this beautiful, gorgeous environment, but it was pre-rendered.
Right,
so it was not something you could interact with.
Right.
And you had to find the spots where it was actually like a 3D element that you could do something with. Like Final Fantasy VII,
I was
going to
say,
right?
The first time I experienced that was Final Fantasy VII, right. I believe. And then like the Resident Evil games.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it feels to me a little bit passé.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say about the game. Still, though, as I mentioned, the action is fan-fucking-tastic. The graphics are great. The other only negative thing that I would say about the game is that, you know, it takes place in a Norse setting and it deals with Norse mythology.
Yeah.
And so far, I'm about, let's say, 15 hours in. I don't really like the way it treats and presents Norse mythology.
Ooh.
It kind of treats and
I was wondering why you hadn't brought up that aspect, man.
Yeah, so it treats it and presents it in characteristic Kratos style, which is fuck these gods. Oh, right. You know, like, I don't care. Gods are stupid. Right. They're just evil. And for somebody who has a you know, an important symbolic relationship with some of the gods of this world, like Odin and Thor, that's a tough pill to swallow. Because I'm like, you're not going to, you know, come on, fancy fucker.
Right, right.
Like, relax. So that's one thing about it. And I think that overall, like, the world building, the lore building is good, but it doesn't compare to the achievement of something like a Dark Souls.
Makes sense.
Right.
Makes sense. I mean, everything you've said, you know, it makes sense. I'm very much so looking forward to playing this. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I convinced you.
QuickTime events, do they still exist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you fail them? You probably haven't failed any.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
but
of
I
course.
Guess you can.
I'm
not sure what happened. Well, okay, so I think I failed one with like one kind of mini boss and it wasn't a big deal. You just kind of go back into the normal
and then
battle,
you got to do it again
and then you have another chance to do it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So God of War 1 and 2 started with like sex quick time events. Does this game
no
start that way?
Not at all. No,
like in the first game, like you bang one chick and in the second game you bang two chicks.
It's definitely a more mature take on God of War.
Okay.
It's not, in my opinion, as mature and as profound as
some people are saying.
People are saying.
Yeah, okay.
So far, at least, like it still seems like to me, Kratos still seems a little bit one-dimensional. Granted, I'm 15 hours in, but I think that's a long time.
When he puts his son to sleep, he still jams out to Disturbed.
Yeah, right. Okay. But it's still about, you know, he's still a little bit one note. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more about him talking to his son and they're exploring this world together. And his son is actually a more cultured being and he's kind of teaching him about the world.
True.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I would say that's that for God of War. Next topic also starts with a G, not by coincidence. Gotham by Gaslight.
So Gotham by Gaslight is something that... Something. It's a DC animated film that came out earlier this year. I'm a big fan of the DC animated films.
I
own like 30 of them at least. Wow. On my iTunes. And this one, at first I just gave it a glance and I skipped it because it seems like lately they've been focusing on Batman and like it's like the one previous to this was Batman and Harley Quinn. I was like, I'm not going to watch this bullshit, you know? So I was like, Gotham by Gaslight. I have no idea what this is. Pala pinga. Vete a comer mierda. But with... is it Batman Ninja or Ninja Batman? I keep fucking it up.
I don't know.
I think it's Batman Ninja.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with that.
Sounds good to me.
With that coming up, I was like, ooh, you know, like I'm ready to dive back into DC animated films. So Gotham by Gaslight is actually based on one of the Elseworlds DC sort of titles or spinoffs. So DC is made up of the multiverse, mm-hmm. where there's like X amount of Earths, X amount of realities. And I think it's kind of brilliant because it allows for all these different takes to be canon.
Yeah, we have to make a quick pause and we will be right back. And we are back.
So yeah, sorry about that. So one of the things I love about the DC universe is this idea of the multiverse, where there's like different versions of all the characters you love. And it's kind of a cheat code because it allows it for all of it to be canon. And then for characters from these different universes to be able to interact with each other. Hmm. Not that any of those kind of crazy intercosmic shenanigans go on here. But Gotham by Gaslight is a different take on Batman and Gotham. The original comic book was actually... the artwork is done by Mike Mignola.
Oh.
Which I was surprised.
Sweet.
I didn't know.
I have to read it then.
I heard it's not that good.
Really?
But
It's been on my list for years. I just haven't gotten around to it. If you don't know, Mike Mignola is the creator and writer and illustrator of Hellboy, amongst other things.
Right. He has a very awesome, I would say, particular style.
Yeah.
So I never knew he worked on Batman, or, you know, so I was like, oh, cool. It made me want to go and try to scope that out. But so this film is based on that, which is a Gotham set in a Victorian era time.
Yep.
And there's something great, I think, with DC characters more than with Marvel characters. There's a quality to, or at least the big three, like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, where like you can place them in any time,
mm-hmm.
and it works.
Yeah, they're kind of timeless.
Right. They're like super iconic, timeless, any culture, any timeline, like it would absolutely work. I mean, it's been shown in the other Elseworld titles and all these different DC universes, but... You know, so Bruce, we get a Bruce Wayne with sideburns here, and I'm cool. I'm down for that.
In this one, Bruce Wayne has chops.
He's
in
got
Batman Ninja. He will bring the chops.
Boom! Oh my God! Joke of the fucking episode.
So
right there.
So there's a prequel, if you will.
Boom! It is. It is. How did he survive all these years? Assuming it's the same one, I guess we'll find out in Batman Ninja. But all right, I fucked that up.
I mean, right. they could be contemporaneous, Victorian times and Ninja times.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I don't think so though.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. So anyway, this in a nutshell, this is like Batman universe meets From Hell.
Right.
You have,
which is kind of what I expected.
And you, right from the get-go, you're like, oh, okay. You, like, you're totally tuned in.
I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, totally. It's like, okay, some dude going around killing sex workers, women.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's straight up a Jack the Ripper thing.
It's a Jack the Ripper. In fact, the killer is referred to as Jack the Ripper. So it's a mystery as to... boner gone. Figuring out who this Jack the Ripper guy is. And I gotta say, for the most part, it's really good. The animation is what you would expect at this point from DC Animated, which is, in my opinion, pretty damn solid.
Okay.
And you could tell it's being influenced by anime to an extent, uh-huh. I think. But it's really, the dialogue is good. The character relationships are well done. The characters that pop up in the film, that, you know, like these different takes on DC known villains and heroes is from the Batverse, is dope. It mainly focuses on James Gordon, Bruce Wayne, and Selina Kyle, aka Catwoman.
Cool.
And I really, really especially enjoyed the relationship between Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne in this. But it's definitely worth checking out. There's also a slight steampunk element to it.
Sure.
of course. And it's dope, man. It's worth checking out. It's worth your time, especially, you know. And another thing you could watch with your, you know, your girl. You could be like, hey, it's Victorian era setting, you know, like that show down. What is it called? Downtown Abbey?
Downtown Abbey. That's the one.
Is that it? You son of a bitch. You know what I mean? You could be like, it's Downtown Abbey meets Batman. So let's peep it.
Time for another short break so I can settle down these doggos. All right. We will be right back. And we are once again returned.
Yeah. So basically, Gotham by Gaslight, pretty dope. You know, but if you're a fan of like these Elseworld, like, you know, Russian Superman, shit like that, like these different takes on like classic DC characters where. And given that it's like this different universe and it's not like part of the main canon, even though it is canonical, you know, there's consequence that can be allowed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's twists and stuff. And this particular film is pretty damn good until I think the final third act where the twist was a little, I wasn't crazy about it.
Gotcha.
But if you agree, disagree, hit me up on Twitter at Violent Gill.
Cool.
Or let Lewis know at Big Ori 80.
Next topic is the band Rotting Christ. So I have been listening to a ton of Rotting Christ this past week. It started when I got into my car and I popped in a CD. And this CD was a sampler.
You're still popping CDs, bro?
Hell yeah, dude.
Damn.
I like that. You just pop it in, set it, and forget it.
All right.
Don't have to fiddle with any Spotify. There's no interruptions. If somebody calls you, it keeps going.
True.
So the CD that I popped in was a sampler from the magazine Terrorizer. These samplers are called Fear Candy. And the first track on it was a Rotting Christ song. And I fucking loved it.
It's called Fear Candy?
Yeah.
That's what I call my dick.
The samplers. And so this really sent me like back down a big Rotting Christ spiral, and I've been listening to them a ton this week. I made a playlist. I was kind of trying to do it in an organized, curated way at first on my laptop, but then I just kept adding songs while I was at the gym, so it's kind of a giant mess right now. But if you want to listen to 30-plus Rotting Christ songs, I have the playlist for you.
Is Rotting Christ what you call your dick?
No. It's called Daemons. The playlist is.
Oh, okay.
And that's Daemons, semicolon, a Rotting Christ playlist. Or you can follow me at BigOri80 on Spotify, and then that might make it easier to find it.
Yeah, that's easier. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a band that has been around for more than 30 years. They are basically one of the foundational bands and one of the more representative bands of the Greek style of black metal. And this ties into a little bit with the book that I read this week also called Black Metal Beyond the Darkness. When people usually think about black metal, especially the second wave, people think about Scandinavia, you know, Norway,
right,
principally, and then to a lesser extent, Sweden and some other countries. But contemporaneously to that, there was a lot going on also in Greece, Italy, France, in Poland, the Czech Republic, in Brazil, we had Sarcófago, so on and so forth.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, you know, at the time, there was no internet. This is still the early 90s. So the scenes were much more local, much more national. And when there was communication, it mainly had to do with tape trading. You know, you would read a magazine, and then in the back, a band had an ad for their demo tape.
Right.
And then you'd send them money, you'd get a tape. And so people would collect these tapes, then like make copies and send them out and trade them and so on. And that's how metal was exchanged back in the day.
Damn, that seems so long ago.
I mean, yeah, it was.
Compared to like how music is so like fluidly available now.
Right, right. Very different. But what one of the consequences of that is that you had real kind of like regional sounds, you know? And of course, the Scandinavians, you know, mainly out of Norway, were doing their thing. But then the Greeks also had a very vibrant and very important scene, spearheaded by bands like Rotting Christ, Necromantia, and Varathrun, also Septic Flesh, who's still active today and making great records. And at the time, at the very beginning, you know, they started releasing demos in 1988. Rotten Christ released their first full-length LP in 1993. And their music was quite beautiful, I would say. Like, really incredibly listenable, enjoyable black metal. And we have to take a brief one last...
No, we don't. Keep
no,
going.
We don't.
That was just Comcast.
Cool. So, yeah, really listenable, really beautiful, really musical stuff.
Okay, now we have to take a break.
Okay, brief pause coming up. Okay, so we're back. And because of extenuating factors, we'll have to cut it slightly short. I mean, still about an hour of content, so not too bad. But we'll do the first half of Rotten Christ this week and pick it right back up next week, which is fine because it's a 30-year career.
True.
So I would say that if you want to listen to the beginnings of Rotten Christ, go back to albums like Thy Mighty Contract and Triarchy of the Lost Lovers, which are my favorites. And this is really awesome 90s, very, very tastefully produced, listenable, extreme metal. The albums that come to mind that compare to this are like Opeth's Orchid, Hypocrisy's self-titled record, Inflamed's Jester Race. So really, really good company here. And as I mentioned, we do have to cut it short, but this is the intro into the world of Rotten Christ. We will pick up the next topics next week, and we'll pick up the second half of Rotten Christ's career at the very beginning of the next episode. So,
sorry about that, guys. It's kind of my fault.
No worries. All good. I hope you enjoyed so far what you have heard of this episode, episode 33, I think, part one. We'll record episode 33, part two, as well as episode 34 next week. Until you hear from us again, take care of yourselves and each other.
Sounds good.